Sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody, our second hour, we take you all the way to 6 o'clock right here on the Big Talker, 1700, Jimmy B and Trent. You can always get in on the show at 264-1700. Again, that's 264-1700. All right, so we have two major college football games coming up Saturday. Trent, the weather forecast, it's going to be cold, maybe some snow flurries. Who does that impact more? In your estimation, could the weather impact more Iowa State and TCU, or with two cold weather teams in Iowa and Minnesota, it's not going to matter?
Do you believe in that stuff? Remember, for
sometimes,
years,
sometimes
it was,
I do.
It was Tampa. Anytime they played under 40 degrees, their record was terrible. Those Tampa teams were awful. I mean, the Buccaneers. That whole thing, I think it played into things, but they were going up and they're playing against the Bears when the Bears were good, and they're playing, you know, with Brett Favre and against the Packers when they were good, Mikowski before that. It's not like Tampa was going up and playing just a bunch of lightweights. They were the lightweights, so I don't know. I think sometimes maybe that gets overblown. I don't see it being a big impact, and, you know, for TCU, that's the one that you would figure it makes more sense. You know, Iowa, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. They're built the way that their teams are constructed. It makes sense for them to go that way. But for TCU, this is not an air-it-out team. This is not a team that's going to chuck the football around, you know, like a Texas Tech, what you normally see. They're still ground-based. And what they've has led to a lot of their success offensively this year for the Horned Frogs, it has been what they've been able to do with Kenny Hill, really taking the football away from him and keeping things on the ground a lot more, relying on their ground game. That's what you've seen out of them so far this season. So I don't think it's going to be a huge impact. Yeah, well, there'll be some Texas guys that are cold, absolutely, but how much does it really impact you? Do you play worse because it's cold? I don't know. I don't believe, at least for a single game, that it's going to be that big of a factor.
Okay, I do remember some stat, and I'm sure that you probably saw it, and they showed it a couple of years ago in the NFL playoffs for Green Bay, that they hadn't lost a game if it was like 34 degrees or less in Green Bay. And that was an unbelievable stat. And then the Giants beat them that night to wipe that stat out. So I'm with you. I always find it interesting, though, anytime you have extreme weather. Like if you're playing in a downpour, ball's going to be slick. It's going to, you know, fly out of guys' hands that normally it wouldn't fly out of. In the snow, you're going to slip and slide a lot more. I just find it, if you're playing in a windstorm, how's that going to affect the passing game and the punting game and the kickoff game? I just find it interesting sometimes if weather would have been or it might be a factor, and I think you're correct, it would be more of a factor, if anything, for Iowa State and TCU and not for Iowa and Minnesota.
You know, I've heard for years a lot of coaches and people involved in football say cold weather really isn't that big of a deal. Snow and rain isn't that big of a deal, as big as maybe you anticipate. The biggest thing that can change a football game is wind. And the wind conditions don't look to be very crazy. 16-mile-an-hour winds in Ames on Saturday, around the same in Iowa City. So, you know, that's the one that could certainly impact things more, both the kicking and the throwing game, what you get into. But no, I'm not going to buy into that a whole lot. I just buy into lining these two teams up and see what happens. And, Jim, as we get ready, you know, this is the biggest Iowa State football game in a long time. And you can determine your own factors of what leads you to believe what is the biggest game since, .. But here we are, and I think Iowa State matches up really well with TCU. The way that Iowa State has transformed themselves defensively and the issues that they had earlier this year, guys running free, you know, against Iowa, they actually did a really good job. Iowa was just able to pick up a bunch of third and longs, and that's something that we haven't seen Iowa be able to do since that game. It seems like a little bit of an anomaly, but think of the number of third and eights and third and tens that Iowa was able to pick up during that football game. And Iowa State has to make improvements there. They have to get better there. They have to be able to get off the field. That has been a real big issue for them. But overall, the way they line up, the way they play, and the improvements that we've seen over these last three, four games for Iowa State, especially on that defensive end. I give them great shot. I don't, like I told you a little bit earlier, I want to go back. I want to see what this TCU team is. I saw a lot of their game against Arkansas, some against Oklahoma State, but I think I want to go back and watch that Okie State game start to finish, probably their most complete game, and get a better vision of TCU.
I'm with you. I'm going to most likely do that as well. I'm not going to pay any attention at all to Kansas, nor would I pay attention to Iowa State and Kansas as well. But I think you are right. I think the Arkansas game and I think the Oklahoma State game are worth reviewing, just from the standpoint that when push comes to shove, how was TCU able to stay calm, cool, collected, and find a way to win in very difficult scenario. So I have a feeling that those are also the two game tapes, Trent, that I'll go back and review before we do our selections on Friday.
So Iowa State, another thing that I've been so impressed with, and you know, we talk about them playing a clean football game. This is, again, not a game I think they have to play perfectly to win, that everything has to go their way. I think they can play. They have to play well, obviously, to get the win. But the way that they've cleaned up so many things in terms of turnovers and bouncing back from Kemp, but holding on to the football, and how disciplined they are. And that is something that really does, I think, speak to coaching, not just with the head coach, but the staff as a whole. When you have a team that's not shooting itself in a foot, that isn't making dumb penalties, that isn't turning the football in the fashion that you see a lot of football teams do, I think it really speaks to this coaching staff and what Coach Campbell has been able to really get out of this squad. They're locked in. They understand what the coaches want. They're going out and executing, and penalty is a big part of that. In fact, one of the least penalized teams in the state, in the nation this year has been Iowa State, 36 yards a game. I mean, that's nothing. You see teams a lot of times well over 75, 80 yards a game. They're the least penalized team in the nation, and per game, the eighth fewest in the nation. That's another thing that I look at this Iowa State team. Those are the little things that you have to figure out if you're going to evolve your football program, and we're seeing from the Cyclones.
The line right now is 6.5 to 7, depending on where you look. Does that seem to be about the right line? I mean, TCU has earned it. I mean, Iowa State is still trying to earn something here.
Sure.
Despite the big upset of Oklahoma, they're still trying to earn it. Does that line seem to be about right to you, or did you think it might be more?
No, that's about the area I anticipated it be, maybe even a tick higher, maybe closer to that 8.5-9 range. But, no, I can see that. And the public right now, they're coming in on TCU. It's not a surprise. It's the fourth-ranked team in the country. It's TCU, was very close to making the college football playoff a couple years ago. It's a program they know. Iowa State is not. Iowa State is the new kid on the block here, and they don't know a whole lot about him. So, no, that doesn't surprise me at all. It doesn't surprise me that the public's coming in on TCU. I think that'll continue on this week, and maybe that line will shade back up. I see it at 6.5 most places, Jimmy B. I'll tell you what, I love that number, and I love it even more at 7. I'd be grabbing the points. I just have a feeling about Iowa State that this is different, that this isn't, you know, Lucy pulling the football out from underneath, as we've seen so many times throughout the years. It feels different. Do you have that feeling, Jimmy B, or are you waiting for the inevitable Iowa State football? What's going to happen on the other side?
No, I have that feeling, Trent. What I'm afraid of, and we do, you know, we'll talk about this as the game gets closer. I just go back to the Texas game, where the eyes of college football were on them, and they played so poorly offensively. Granted, different quarterback, but still, it was just a horrific game. The defense was sound, but the offense just totally lost its way and fell apart. I'm hoping that the moment will not be too big. And people are going to say, well, look what they did at Oklahoma. Well, at Oklahoma, there was no pressure on them. They were a 33-point underdog. No pressure at all. Now, you're ranked 25th in the country. Think about it. 25th in the country out of 350 college football teams. And you're 25th in the country. Yes, there's some pressure on you now. There really is. You have apparently changed that culture. You got the, hey, look at me now culture. Where before is, oh, don't pay any attention to us. We suck. Now it's, hey, look at me. And that's what you want, Trent. You want a college football team to be the, hey, look at me guys. And if they have success against TCU, I mean, it'll be unbelievable what will happen then for Iowa State. Not only does it give them six wins and they would automatically be in a bowl game, but knocking off, what, the number four team in the country after you had beaten Oklahoma on the road, after going to Texas Tech and winning there. I mean, this is it's rarefied air is what it is for Iowa State if they were to win this game.
Getting bowl eligible, there's three games, though, that are set up here. Jim, there's still a likelihood. They're going to be underdogs in the next three football games. TCU,
yes.
Oklahoma State, West Virginia in between. And they're going to be an underdog in every one of these games where suddenly it's you're 5-5. And then you go to Baylor, a Baylor team that still could be searching for their first win. They're going to get somebody. Baylor's going to get somebody. Cyclone fans, mm-hmm. also hope that Baylor wins a football game before you see them. I think they're going to. You've seen the improvements that Matt Rhule and company is having down there. And then it's Kansas State. And if you go into that one looking for that sixth win, we know what a house of horrors, you know, Manhattan has been for Iowa State throughout the years. And,
yeah.
and just Kansas State in general. If K-State always finds a way to beat Iowa State in a tight one. They've had huge comeback victories. They've had dominating performances. We've seen all sides of that. So there is no sure thing. Even though it does feel different, you do have to remember. And it's still early. It's still early in the process. Year number two, most times you see these kind of leaps happen, big jumps forward in year number three of football programs. It's happening early. I don't want to tell Cyclone fans to try to rein in their excitement because they mm-hmm. deserve it. What they've
they
gone
do.
Through, the
yep.
way they support yep. that program, they absolutely deserve it. But if the wheels do come off and you lose the next three and you're 5-5, hey, realize what you have and realize the foundation that Matt Campbell is building.
You have to do that, and you have to savor where you are right now and enjoy every moment of it. They're far and few between, and like I said before, rarefied air right now for the Iowa State Cyclones. Enjoy it and get ready for a game which, if a victory takes place, monumental, monumental in the growth of Iowa State football.
Well, Jimmy B, when we come back on the other side, we're going to talk more Cyclones as we welcome in Cody Peck from BCDivide.com. You know, Jim, that website, they do a great job, both Hawkeyes and Cyclones. So no matter mm-hmm. what side of the side that you're on, you're going to find some great content. Those guys continue to churn it out. It's a great website to go in and a place that I go every single day, finding new content, finding something new. The guys are doing a great job.
They really are, and it's fun having them be participants on our show too, Trent, because they both offer up unique insights into both schools. And so we always look forward to having Cody and Derek on, and it'll be Cody Peck who will be our guest here coming up in just a couple of minutes.
Cyclones on Wednesday, Hawkeyes on Thursday with BC Divide and online at bcdivide.com. We'll take the time out. Back with more Jimmy B and TC here in a moment.
1700 KBGG brings you Westwood One coverage of the NFL all season long through the Super Bowl.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
Sponsored by your locally owned Domino's. Domino's $7.99 large three-topping carryout offer is every day. So no matter what day it is, it's always a good day for pizza. Ask for this offer. Availability and charges may apply.
The prices at some Halloween attractions are scarier than the events themselves. That's why we're bringing you Half Off Haunts. You'll save 50% at these great places for Halloween fun. Like Howell's Pumpkin Patch. Howell's Pumpkin Patch is loaded with pumpkins and farm fun, including a corn maze, giant bull slide, great pumpkin jumping pad, new this year, 8-person International Harvester pedal tractor, and push-pull tractors and more. Another half-off haunt is Scream Acres at Bloomsbury Farm in Atkins. Scream Acres features 4 different attractions. Cell Block Z, the Carnival Chaos, the Slaughterhouse, and Haunted Cornfield. The final half-off haunt is the Pumpkin Ranch in Winterset, home of Iowa's mega corn maze, jump pillows, zip lines, giant tube slide at Toddler Town, and pumpkins. Learn more about these half-off haunts now with the sweet deals at 1700kbgg.com.
Quantities are limited. Don't miss your chance to save 50% at these great places for Halloween fun. Half-off haunts.
Menards Super Sale has big savings on everything you need. Stop by Menards to get your home ready for fall with help from Polar Plastics. High-clarity polyfilm prevents cold drafts and offers great weather protection without obstructing your view. It can be used for both indoor and outdoor applications. An 8x25-foot roll of Polar Plastics high-clarity polyfilm is just $4.99. Save big during Menards Super Sale, now through October 28th.
Save big money at Menards.
Easter Seals Iowa provides support for children and adults with disabilities in our community. From the fun of Camp Sunnyside to employment and daily living skills, Easter Seals provides a wide range of support to promote independence.
We have so much fun.
EasterSealsIA.org.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We continue all the way till 6 o'clock right here on the Big Talker, Jimmy B and TC. You can always join us on the conversation at 264-1700. Right now, Cody Peck, BC Divide, is our guest. He comes to us on the Draft House 50 Hotline, Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. Cody, you are the brother who follows the Cyclones. How excited are you and your subscribers for this game on Saturday?
Well, Jimmy, you know, we are beyond excited. I think that's probably a little bit of an understatement, to be honest with you guys. This game on Saturday is, I've been kind of telling everyone all week long, that this is, in my opinion, the biggest game that's going to be played at Jack Trice in quite some time. I also have to go ahead and own up, after telling you gentlemen last week, that Iowa State would fall to the Texas Tech Red Raiders by 10 to 14 points, and they proved me wrong.
They did, and it was a game that I certainly didn't see them winning. I thought that 66-10 was going to resonate more, but they just go out there and they continue to win. And the thing that makes this so great, it's not flukiness. It's not getting a bunch of breaks go their way. This is something, Cody, where they're just going out and playing good football, and that's got to lead to the fan base and people like you that just get so excited, because a lot of times you know that the other shoe is bound to drop at some time. It just doesn't feel that way with this Iowa State team, the way they're playing right now.
No, Trent, you're absolutely right, man. You know, that this team went out to Texas Tech on the road and had zero penalties in that game. That tells you a lot about how a team's confidence level is. It comes all the way down from the top with this coaching staff. And you're absolutely right, Trent. I continue to prepare myself week in and week out just to for the kick to the groin, and it never happens. It's something to where this team is gradually building confidence, and thankfully they're doing so quite a bit ahead of their fan base. And this fan base now is starting to catch up and really get on board with this team, and it's a fun time to be a Cyclone football fan, that's for sure.
All right, Cody, then. I'll be the deliverer of bad news, and I'll give you the kick to the sack right now. They had the spotlight on them at home against the Texas Longhorns and played miserably. Defense kept them in the game, but the offense was atrocious. All right, I know you can say, different quarterback, this team has turned the corner, I get all of that, but could the bright lights of an afternoon game once again turn bad for the Cyclones?
Yeah, I mean, the opportunity is definitely going to be there, Jimmy B, for that to happen. I do think that the cool, calm, and collectedness kind of a Kyle Kempty quarterback in this team, it's going to lead to a different result. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that they're going to beat this TCU team. This TCU team comes in ranked in the top four in the country for a reason. But I will tell you, Jimmy B, that this team has a confidence with them right now that that Texas game is something that they've completely flushed down the toilet and moved past. And, you know, using the different quarterback as an excuse, as Jacob Park led that team that night against Texas on Thursday night. But it's not an excuse anymore. You know, Kyle Kemp comes in with a cool confidence to him, and I really think that he's doing what he has to do at that position. You know, he's limiting turnovers, he's making smart plays, and kind of letting the stars around him be the ones to win the game for him. But no, it's going to be an opportunity for sure for this Cyclone football team that I really think that they're going to take advantage of, and we'll be anxiously awaiting 2:30 on Saturday.
You know, TCU, Gary Patterson has done such a great job throughout his career of building defenses and a way that his teams continually bounce back from down years, as we're happening seeing this season out of the Horned Frogs. But this is going to be a different kind of challenge. Coming into the year, we knew, Cody, Oklahoma, as good as they might be offensively, defensively, they're going to have issues. Kansas is Kansas. They suck. And then Texas Tech, defensively, though better than they have been, still not a great defensive team. This is going to be a whole different look that they're going to see out of a very talented Texas TCU team.
Absolutely, Trent. This is a game, you know, kind of looking at the line on this game, it tells me pretty much all I need to know, Trent. The total on this game is hovering around 48, 49, whereas the previous 3 weeks with the Iowa State Cyclone football team, you know, the total's kind of been stretched up in the upper 50s, low 60s, and it's going to be a defensive battle. I think that's one thing that's a lot of people are really underappreciating about this Iowa State football team, that the guys like David Montgomery and, you know, Lazard are getting all the noise offensively, but it's really truly the defense that's keeping this Iowa State team well above water and kind of going unnoticed. So it's going to be a hell of a matchup, you know, with TCU and their stout defense that Gary Patterson always brings to the table. And, you know, Coach Heacock's doing a great job with the Iowa State defense as well.
All right, Cody, all I hear now out of Coach Matt Campbell is speed, 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 and he is referring to TCU. Does Iowa State on their defense, can they match up with that speed on the offense of TCU?
Yeah, you know, I think, Jimmy, we have some great corners, you know, and I think they're going to do a good job. It's going to be heavily relied upon that Iowa State defensively is going to have to do some good jamming up front. You know, the only way to slow down speed on the outside, Jimmy, is to really get a good jam job done on those wide receivers. Force them to struggle to get off the line of scrimmage. Don't let them kind of break free down the field. And a lot of over-under coverage will be utilized on Saturday, but ultimately the best way to stop the passing game is to come out and play stout defense from the very beginning.
You mentioned those cornerbacks. They've been playing well. And how about the play? It's been overshadowed because of the story of Joel Lanning and the transformation, but Marcel Spears and had the pick six, so that maybe gets a little bit more headlines, but he's been playing at an incredibly high level all year long at linebacker.
He's a fun guy, Trent. He really is. We had a chance to catch up with him this past Tuesday, and you know, Marcel's he's a fun dude to talk to, and you're absolutely right. He goes on Joel Lanning gets a lot of the publicity, obviously, on that defense, and a guy like Marcel Spears, you know, that was his first career interception on Saturday, and it just so happened to be a pick six. You can expect Marcel to come out and be ready to go against his TCU team and have kind of a new little confidence under his belt after that interception on Saturday.
Cody Peck is our guest, BC Divide. He's on the Draft House 50 Hotline, Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. All right, Cody, let's follow up with Joel Lanning, a guy who's playing both sides of the ball, even some time on special teams. Have you heard how his health status is? Is he still holding up under all of the snaps that he gets every game?
I think so, Jimmy. You know, on Tuesday when we had a chance to talk to those guys, it sounds like he's a little banged up, but Joel's a gamer. You know, that goes all the way back to his senior year at Ankeny, and the kid just plays his heart out week in and week out. I don't think a little bumps and bruises here and there are going to stop a kid like Joel Lanning, but, you know, the wear and tear of the Big 12 schedule is definitely something to be concerned about, especially when you got a guy like him who's taking snaps, as you mentioned, offensively, defensively. I think he had 9 or 10 snaps on special teams this past Saturday, and it'll be anxious to see, but no, Joel's got a warrior mentality, and there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to be ready to go for Saturday's game.
Cody Peck, BC Divide. Our conversations with Cody and his brother Derek on the Hawkeyes, presented by Murphy Tower Service in Carlisle. All right, before we let you run, Cody, do want to jump over to a little bit of basketball. Earlier this week, Big 12 Basketball Media Day, Cyclones picked ninth. I think that is a fair representation of what this roster is right now. But the excitement, the young guys, we get to see Cameron Laird finally in real action coming up here with the exhibition game around the corner. We get to see this squad doing some positive things. And it's going to be a young team, maybe some growing pains, but you got to be so excited about what Coach Prohm is building and the future that this program is going to have.
I definitely am, Trent. You know, those guys on Tuesday spoke at the media day down in Kansas City, and Donovan Jackson came out and he said right off the bat to the media, he said, those guys that picked us, picked ninth in the conference, are going to be dead wrong. And so it really is going to be the mentality of this young team that they're going to be out to prove people wrong, Trent. It's going to be undoubtedly some growing pains early, but I think by the time the Big 12 schedule kind of rolls around and they get on the road and pick up a game or two on the road, it's going to be some confidence that that these players are going to need to get through the Big 12 season. And hopefully we can sneak into the NCAA tournament at the end of the year, but nevertheless, I won't consider this year a failure if that's not something that can happen, just considering how young they are.
Earlier, it was reported that head coach Steve Prohm turned down a couple offers. One of them was from Minnesota to have an opportunity to play in a charity game. And apparently Prohm indicated he just didn't want to subject his young team to that. You good with that?
Yeah, I kind of see things both ways there, Jimmy. It's something to where, you know he's got a young team, and you don't really want to expose them too much. I think there's going to be some, strategic reasons for Coach Prohm doing so. But I know it did take on a little bit of a negative light socially just because it was a charity event. So it'll be interesting to see how things play out for sure.
Good stuff as always. Cody, love talking with you. We'll do it again soon. Talk next week, and hopefully it's four in a row for the Cyclones and a win against TCU. Enjoy the game on Saturday.
I will, fellas. Thanks so much for your time.
Good stuff there.
All right, Cody.
Always love talking with Cody. Again, the conversations with our buddies from BCDivide.com, presented by Murphy Tower Service. Right now, looking for new employees. They have a setup right now. If you, looking for a new job, they have an apprenticeship program. Go online. It's murphytower.com for information if you're out there looking for a new job and a great program with the apprenticeship program there at Murphy Tower Service. Jimmy B, it's a big one Saturday. There's so many big ones, though, at the same time at 2:30, Jim.
It's amazing because that's Penn State, Ohio State as well. But, man, oh, man, oh, man, this is a monster Saturday with big-name schools, all highly ranked, that will be participating against each other, Trent. Man, this is why you love college football, because of what's coming this Saturday.
It's going to be a big one, no doubt about it. 2:30 kickoff for Iowa State and TCU. We'll come back here on the other side, put a cap on things, and get ready for Game 2 of the World Series. It's all next here, as we'll take you up until 6 o'clock. Jimmy B and TC on 1700 KBGG.
Welcome back, everybody. Our final segment here on a Wednesday. Well, Trent, look, I thoroughly enjoyed watching the World Series last night, especially when it was only 2 hours and 28 minutes. That was awesome. I don't know if we're going to get that tonight. But you know what? When you have two stud pitchers on the mound, like we talked about earlier in yesterday's game, and to be honest with you, all they do is just give up the long ball. You had one long solo shot off of Kershaw, and then the solo shot, and then it's the two-run shot that came later in the game by Turner, and that's it. I mean, that's it. 3-1. I don't know. I don't know if we're going to get a repeat like that tonight, but it could take place.
Well, you know it's going to happen, Jimmy B. You know, I was saying earlier today, I want to go back and I want to watch TCU a little bit more. I haven't seen a ton of the Horned Frogs, so I want to see them. Want to go back to their win against Oklahoma State, certainly their high water mark of the season. I did watch a lot of their game against Arkansas, but I just want to see them. But with my luck, I'll be ready to watch that afterwards, and we're going to get a 4.5-hour baseball game tonight. And I'm not going to have time to do that because it's baseball. And anymore, you just don't have games like what we had last night. It was so much fun, though. You know, we talked earlier in the program a bit about the game, but Kershaw, there's just something about a beautiful curveball that I still love, Jimmy B. People have wipeout sliders. You got Mariano Rivera that had the cutter. Mm-hmm. But there's something about that 12-6 or that hanger, seeing guys' knees buckle, seeing them flinch there in the box. There's still nothing better to me than a good snapped-off curveball.
Man, I'm telling you, a couple of those, if I were in the box, I would have been running for the dugout with the way that thing's coming in. I would have had my foot in the bucket so fast, it would have been absolutely scary, Trent. And these are major leaguers.
Yeah.
Major leaguers that are buckling like what you just talked about. And then they'll chase that outside pitch, and there's no way in hell they got a chance to even get the bat on that. It was an amazing performance last night by Kershaw. Look, I'm really looking forward to see what Verlander does. I really am. I want to see if he's as overpowering as he was in that game when they went back to Houston and beat the Yankees, and Verlander took the ball. I just want to see, man, oh man, if we get another couple of pitching performances like we did last night, and you know, chicks dig the long ball, we get a couple of those. This is the real deal. I mean, you got the two best teams in baseball playing in the American and the National League. And from that standpoint, I think we were treated to a terrific performance last night. I hope we get a similar performance tonight.
We will see about that. The lineups are out for tonight's matchup, Jimmy B. Let's run through those really quick here and take a peek at what we're going to see on both sides. As I had it up a moment ago, I'll bring it back up. Here we go as we scroll through and get things. Starting for the Astros tonight as they go up against the lefty on the mound, Rich Hill. It'll be Springer, Bregman, Altuve, Correa in the cleanup spot, Gurriel, McCann, Gonzalez, Reddick, and of course Verlander will be at the plate tonight as they play in a National League park. Over on the Dodgers side, Taylor, who began the bottom of the first inning with just an absolute blast. Seager bats second. Turner, that guy, just absolutely nuts. Ooh. Bellinger, Puig, Jock Peterson will get the start tonight in left field. Barnes behind the plate, and Utley playing second base again with Rich Hill on the bump for the Dodgers. So those are the lineups for tonight, Jimmy B. We know this, it almost feels like a must win, especially in the 2-3-2 format, just what the Dodgers have. To me, it still feels inevitable that this is going to be the Dodgers series. I almost felt like the Astros had to get the first two, as crazy as it sounds. But if we get a win tonight out of the Astros, we have a series, we get to the weekend, and some hope of some more good baseball. Do we see it tonight, or is it just the Stros?
I have a feeling the Dodgers win again. Mm-hmm. I just think they're playing right now with such confidence and with such a high level. I just have a feeling, Trent, that this is going to be a Dodger victory again tonight, and then they'll go to Houston for three, which I think is going to be fine because I think the Stros win at that park. And so I think it'll make for an interesting series. Will it go seven? You and I both thought, you thought what, in five?
Yeah.
I said six, yeah. So, but I just think L.A. is just too damn good.
Yeah, they are. Boy, that team, top to bottom lineup, bullpen, the rotation that they have, it is an absolutely incredible team. And they were the best team in baseball. They had that slump. They had the 11-game losing streak, 16 out of 17. That appears certainly to be the anomaly as we get ready for tonight. So, Jimmy B., we got Game 2 of the World Series on the docket. We got a big weekend of college football coming up. NFL starts tomorrow. Ravens, Dolphins. You know, you look at the Dolphins, I don't know quite how they're doing it, but now they finally have a quarterback that I think you can have some confidence in, not Jay Cutler and Matt Moore. Is that a team, maybe one of the under-the-radar teams that we're sleeping on? Give me an NFL hit here. Who is a team right now? The Dolphins were the one that kind of jumped to my mind that nobody's really talking about that you think can make a run. They don't have to get to a championship game or anything like that, but can make a run and become a playoff team.
I'm with you on that. I thought that they were going to be the second-best team in the AFC East anyway.
That's not saying much.
Well, I know. Yes, I know. I know that. But from that standpoint, you know, it's one of those things that you would just shake your head at, but you know, when they lost their starting quarterback, then they go get Cutler. Now he's got a couple of broken ribs. So now they're playing Matt Moore. And what did Matt Moore do? Led them to victory just this past weekend over the New York Jets. And the Jets aren't as bad as what everybody thought they were going to be. But if there's another team, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I have a feeling, Trent, if they can continue to get at least decent, and I use that word cautiously, decent quarterback play from Blake Bortles, they're dangerous. They have a terrific defense, and they are dangerous with some of the playmakers that they have, particularly if Leonard Fournette is healthy and can do what Leonard Fournette can do on the football field.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Jacksonville there, and I wanted to bring that up. That AFC South, it's jumbled. It's not very good. But Houston, they're at 3-3, but the injuries they had defensively, not just J.J. Watt, but you know what's happened to them, you wonder how they're going to go. So I want to bring it up here and see if they have the updated NFL division standings, because I think that's something that can kind of tell us a little bit if that's a good dark horse selection. All right, here it is. AFC South to win the division. Still the favorite. In fact, there's two favorites. At plus 170 are the Texans and the Titans. The Jags are right behind them, though, at plus 180. So it's basically pick your poison out of those three, and you're going to be getting money. I might be with you. You know, if I had to make a bet in that division, I'd probably be jumping on the Jacksonville train. The other ones right now that are out there, the Eagles are now minus 600, a huge favorite in the NFC East. The Vikings, a huge favorite. They're minus 300 in the North. The South of the NFC, though, very interesting. All right, we'll go to the Kona Casino here for a moment, Jimmy B.
Okay.
Here's a free $20 for you. You got to lay it on the NFC South. These are the numbers that you have. The Saints are the favorite, plus 110. So basically even odds there on the Saints to be the division winners. The Panthers are plus 225. Atlanta plus 250, and then the Bucs are 30-1. So you can go out there, try to make a bunch of money there on the Buccaneers if you believe in Jameis and company. Or are you going to go with one of the other three? Saints plus 110, Panthers plus 225, or Atlanta plus 250?
I thought that I would put my money on Atlanta, but they have lost their way all of a sudden. Just because of the offensive weapons that they have. But they can't seem now to get untracked. I would like to say Carolina, but all of a sudden Cam Newton's turned into a turnover machine. They've got a lot of offensive weapons as well, but they just don't seem to be using them correctly. And Trent, they play awfully slow. Is Brian Ferentz their offensive coordinator? Good golly, they play slow. So if that's the case, I would probably, without taking the favorite in the Saints, I would probably have to spring for Carolina, between Carolina, Atlanta, and Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I think I'd be in that same direction as you. I don't like the odds that you get with the Saints. I just don't think the price is very good for what you have. So I think I'd jump on the same one there with the division. A couple other divisions here. We go to this one kind of surprised me. The NFC West. Seahawks are still the favorite. Okay, I can buy that. But minus 220. A little heftier price than I would have anticipated. And you can get the Rams basically at 2-1 right now. So that one, I at least would have to investigate a little bit further, you know, the Rams, what they have the rest of the way. I like that Rams team. I like what McVay has done for them. We see Jared Goff has taken a big step forward. Here's the Rams schedule. They're 5-2 right now, Jimmy B.
Right. Yeah.
They are off this week before they go to the Giants next week. Home for the Texans, at Minnesota, Saints at home, at Arizona. Still probably no David Johnson or Carson Palmer at that point. Eagles after that, at Seahawks, at Titans, and the 49ers at the end. It's not an easy schedule. I mean, there's a lot of toss-up games in there, but the Rams get to 10-6. 10-6. Let's bring up the Seahawks then on the other side of it. The Seahawks going forward, they have, let me click on them, they're 4-2. They have the Texans at home, Redskins at home, at Cardinals, Atlanta at home, 49ers on the road, Eagles at home, at Jacksonville, Rams, at Cowboys, Cardinals. Same kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think if either of them get to 11-5, they get it done. But I don't know if I'd be willing to lay that kind of money on the Seahawks -220 to finish a game up of the Rams.
I got you. I really like the Rams as well. And Jared Goff looks like the quarterback that when he was first drafted out of the University of California, everybody thought he was going to be. He wasn't in his rookie season, but he looks like that guy now, mm-hmm. just like Carson Wentz looks like that guy now in his second year with the Eagles. So, and the way they're running their offense, I don't know how much you've watched a lot of Rams games, but Todd Gurley is not only running the football, he's catching it now coming out of the backfield. So they have revamped their entire offense, and they had made it work around Goff and Gurley, which to me would be an awfully smart move to begin with. And they shored up that offensive line so that Goff is not getting beat up every time he drops back. So I would have to take the Rams at the moment. I really would.
Well, Jimmy B, as we wrap up here, the biggest news of the NFL today, no doubt, a trade. My Chicago Bears have picked up a wide receiver. Dontrell Inman is making his way to the Windy City to help that devastated wide receiver group. All he's done this year is only played in four games. He has two receptions for 9 yards. He'll fit in well with that Bears wide receiver core.
Yeah, since they only throw it seven times a game. All right, Dontrell. There you go, pal.
excitement abounds. Well, Jimmy B, you enjoy the World Series game tonight, and we'll be back at it tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
You got it, pal. Don't forget, everybody, you can always lock and load with us beginning at 4 o'clock, and we roll all the way until 6, right here on the Big Talker 1700.